Our solar system is a wondrous place with a single star, our sun, and everything that orbits around it, planets, moons, asteroids, and comets. What do we know about this beautiful solar system we call home? It's part of an even larger cosmos with billions of other solar systems.
Hi, I'm Jim Green, Director of Planetary Science at NASA, and this is Gravity Assist. With me is Andy Weir, author of the bestseller The Martian and now Artemis, a thriller set on the moon, and we're talking about the fascinating intersection of science fiction and science.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, I usually ask this question at the end of an interview, but it seems more appropriate to begin with, and that is really how science inspired you to get into writing science fiction. What was your gravity assist, Andy?
Well, probably my father. He's a scientist himself. He's a linear accelerator physicist. He's retired now, but he spent his whole career, shooting electrons down a tube. And so he's always been a science dork and a science fiction fan. And he had an inexhaustible supply of sci-fi books in the house for me to read. So I guess you could say I was indoctrinated from birth.
I see. So you had an opportunity to read the library. So what were some of your favorite authors?
Well, my holy trinity, so to speak, are Heinlein, Asimov, and Clark. Because I'm 45 years old, but I grew up reading my father's science fiction collection. So I grew up reading, juveniles from the 50s and 60s and early 70s.
But you know, that still holds up really well.
Some of them do. Yeah, parts of them don't. Parts of them didn't age well, but other parts of them still hold up really well, especially when they decided to stick with real physics.
What really surprised you about Mars when you're doing the research for your first book?
Well, I mean, I had a lot of fun doing the research, and that's always the part of writing that I enjoy the most. I already knew a lot about it to start with because I've spent my life being a space dork. I feel like I'm in a building where that's very much accepted here at NASA's headquarters in DC. But I've always been into it. So I started with more than a layman's knowledge of this stuff. But a few things I discovered while researching Mars that I didn't know before was I didn't realize how fast Phobos's orbit really was, how ludicrously close to the planet it is. It's within the geosync, whatever Mars's geosync is called.
Well within it, actually.
Well within it. And in fact, it's nearing the Roche limit. It's probably going to be a ring in a few hundred thousand years. But so that means that even though Phobos and Deimos both go the same direction around Mars, if you're on the surface of Mars, they appear to be going opposite directions because Phobos is going around Mars faster than Mars can rotate. That's one thing I found really interesting. I was also fascinated by, Olympus Mons, on Mars is the tallest mountain in the solar system, but it also has an incredibly wide base, almost the size of the state of Texas. And so the grade is so gradual that the curvature of the planet actually has more of an effect on the horizon than the grade. So you could be standing on the slopes, for lack of a better word, of Olympus Mons, and you would think you're in a flat plane.
Yeah, it's really spectacular. And this is one of the features that a lot of our scientists point to that says Mars doesn't have plate tectonics. And
right.
So as magma just pokes through the surface, it just sits there and accumulates.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to interrupt you there because I have a very exciting for me news to share in that, so recently, I guess within the past year, they were able to prove that Mars had an active volcano that lasted over 2 billion years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How long was it
that they could, on that order? Yes.
On that order. Okay. And the way they were able to prove that is by examining a specific shergotite. A meteorite that had fallen to Earth but originated on Mars. And they were able to analyze that and prove that it came from basically the same lava source that these other shergotites came from. And that proved, oh, wow, that same lava source has been active for like 2 billion years. Well, that shergotite that they did the proof with is I have a shergotite at home, a Mars rock at home. That was a little gift from me to me with my Martian money. I have it at home.
Wow.
And it is that same one. It's the same. Really? Mine is a different piece from the same fall, but it's the same meteorite. Wow. And so it was funny when I was reading that news, because of course I read space news. I was like, and it's from this NWA 7635. I don't know if that's the correct number, but I was like, wait, that sounds familiar. And I go into my living room and look at the little plaque I have, because of course I have it on a little display case and stuff like that. I'm like, that's my meteorite.
All right,
Sugartite.
Well, hang on to it,
Well, no, I'm not going to be giving it away. It cost a lot.
Yes, true. May have other secrets to behold. But this is really important. Why we need to do that next Mars mission, the sample return mission.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to core rock and we're going to bring that back, and that's going to tell us how fast the climate on Mars changed.
That sounds fantastic. When are you going to launch that?
Mars 2020 is it called?
That'll collect the sample. I'm still catching up on some of the details. That'll collect the samples and leave them behind for a future return mission.
Right.
Yeah.
So what it's going to do once we land it in a geologically diverse area, probably where their water was modified, the minerals, where the ancient shoreline on Mars has been, it will start coring rock. It cores about 3-inch long, chalk like. Cylindrical
core samples.
Volume core samples. Yeah, thank you. And then we put them in a sleeve, a metal sleeve, and then after we do several of those, we lay them in a pile, and then we move on.
Right.
And then later on, we're going to come pick them up, take them back to a Mars ascent vehicle.
You're going to, yeah, that sounds great.
And then we'll bring it all back, because we really want to interrogate those in the laboratory. That's where the gold is, to bring back those samples and really study them.
You guys are sending entire laboratories to Mars to look at the samples, but boy, they're nothing compared to what we can do on Earth with our facilities here.